Words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is a common saying that timing is everything. Sometimes when we use this phrase, timing is everything, what we mean is that in very pleasant and positive things which happen in our lives, we're happy that all the details dovetail together for such a positive outcome. On the other hand, when things don't work out so good, we say to ourselves, if only X, Y, and Z had happened, then things would have turned out better. We say timing is everything. But we don't really believe the circumstances of our lives are ruled by fate or chance. As Christians, we ought to believe that God is the creator and ruler of all things in heaven and on earth. And so we read this morning from Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son. When we hear these words, we need to know that God is the one who determined when the fullness of time had come. Since God is all-wise and all-powerful, he alone knew the right time for his Son to be sent into the world, and he alone determined when the fullness of time had come for his eternal Son to take on our humanity and to redeem us from sin. So this morning I want to consider two points under this right timing of God. At just the right time, God sent his Son to redeem us from sin. He was born of a woman and born under the law. Let me consider each of those separately. The Apostle Paul tells us that Jesus was born of a woman. In order for God the Son to accomplish the will of his Father and follow the pathway that God the Father had ordained for him, he had to be born of a woman. This clearly reveals that in order for God to redeem us, it was his will that his Son become human. The incarnation meant that God became human and dwelt among us. We're familiar with the words of John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14 of chapter 1 of John, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full grace and truth. While Jesus never stopped being God, he added humanity unto himself as he was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is fully God, fully man, yet without sin. And so he was qualified as our great high priest because he could represent God to us and us to God because he was fully God and fully man. God sent forth his Son into the world, born of a woman, but also born under the law. Jesus was born of a Jewish mother, born into the Jewish nation, subject to the Jewish law. Throughout his life, he submitted to all the requirements of the law of God, and he succeeded in that which we failed. Before Jesus was baptized by John, John did not want to baptize Jesus. But Jesus prevailed on John to do it, to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus, in fact, did not do anything for his benefit, but for ours. He fulfilled all righteousness for us. We're not told in Galatians 4 in this passage about how Jesus would redeem us further, but he does throughout not only this letter, but throughout the New Testament, that Jesus redeemed us by his death for us on the cross. But here Paul is telling us that Christ became human and fulfilled the law to the fullest degree in order that we might be rescued from sin and death. Secondly, at just the right time, God adopted us through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. The purpose of Christ's coming was to redeem us and make us his adopted children. God the Son has an eternal relationship with God the Father, but at a point in time, he included us among the family of God. And so God in his love sent his Son into the world that we might be his children by adoption and by his grace. The time for our inheritance has come when the Lord Jesus completed his work of redemption for us. As we read in the early verses of Galatians 4, at that time when someone was adopted, there was not much of a difference between an adopted child and a servant of the household until that adopted child became an adult. It wasn't until the son became an adult that there was a huge difference between him and the servant, the household servant, because then the adult child was one who received the full inheritance that was due him through his relationship with his father. God was preparing the world and his people for the timing of his son, the Messiah. God spoke through the prophets of old, making the promises of this coming Messiah through not only prophecies, but also the Old Testament rituals of sacrifice, which foreshadowed and pointed forward to the fact that Jesus would redeem us through his blood. And so all the blessings that come to us through Jesus Christ have been accomplished. And so the fullness of time has come when Christ accomplished his work of redemption. But God also tells us in this passage that God sent forth his Spirit into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Galatians 4:6 says, because you are sons, God sent forth his Spirit of his Son into our hearts, whereby we are able to cry, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit is there to help us as we pray. And at moments in which we need assurance that we are the children of God. This phrase, Abba, Father, is a term of endearment that a son would say to his father, similar to us saying to our father, Daddy. It's an affectionate term. And Christ has won this for us. And so the Holy Spirit gives us strength and gives us assurance for us to know that we have God as our Father through Jesus Christ, the eternal Son. The Holy Spirit gives us strength to pray to God the Father on the basis and work of God the Son. Even as we go through times of difficulty. For this is the same address that Jesus, God the Son, had to God the Father during the dark hour of Gethsemane when he was anticipating the cross. Jesus, as it's recorded in Mark 14, verse 36, says, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Jesus, being fully God and fully man, cries out to God at this dark moment, but he cries out, Abba, Father. He is going through suffering, and yet he's also convinced that God is with him. God remains his Father as he goes through this suffering. In the midst of the crisis of our dark hours, we must remember nothing has changed in our relationship with God. If we trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, God continues to be with us and remains our Father. And so the Holy Spirit grants us strength and help to call God our Father when he seems distant to us. We need to rely and depend on the Holy Spirit to give us assurance and to strengthen our faith so that we might call God Father even as we go through suffering. And so we can and should entrust ourselves into his care, remembering that in his perfect timing, he brought his Son for us and he sends his Spirit into our hearts. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, grant your grace to us and assist us that we might be transformed into the image of your Son, your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, enlighten our eyes, strengthen our wills, renew our minds and hearts by your word and Holy Spirit, These things we beg through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit we adore and worship as one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us stand together for our closing hymn, hymn number 95, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.